I could remember our first GPL out. I mean, our second GPL out. That was in 2014. We had a discussion on the planting of the Lord. I thought on the topic, the planting of the Lord. And that spanned into the year, And something that I know we do during GPLR is the fact that whatever teaching we get to teach during GPLR, we'll now break it into sub-teachings in all our teachings during the year. Hear me? That's actually GPLR points for us a major of some of the highlights we have in most of our teachings in the course of the year. Like, last year, during GPLR, we started off a teaching called The Revelation of God, right? Revelation of God. And after GPLR, we had an introduction though, because we couldn't complete it. So it became a series we started. The Revelation of God started out in 2021. We'll have it 2023. Hallelujah. 23. We just keep having it once every 2 years. And investigating who really is God. Hallelujah. His nature, his character, his person. Hallelujah. The GPLR before that, we had the teaching on the communion table, right? The communion table, that was 2019, if I'm not mistaken, 2019, we had the communion table. 2018, we had, what are the teaching? You know, like that, we keep having messages like that. Glory to God. So, this year, we are actually answering a fundamental question in our world. Are you hearing me? A fundamental question in our world. I want to answer it from scriptures. Because we discovered that scriptures actually shows us or becomes to us, for us as believers, scriptures is a navigation. We navigate through our world with the word of God. Irrespective of what is happening in the world, we know we are navigated by the scriptures. Hallelujah. So we're answering the question, patriarchal or feminism? Is God patriarchal? Is God feminist? Is God a feminist? How does God treat sexes in scripture? So the topic is patriarchal feminism. Where is God? Hallelujah. Where is God? Patriarchal feminism. Where is God? Some of us have been hearing of feminism, right? Right? How many of you have not heard of feminism? You've not heard of feminism before. You've not heard of feminism. Hallelujah. So we live in a world with So we're answering that question. So yeah, this is how I will open my teaching that was funny to us. Is we live in a world with subtle patriarchal culture. A patriarchal culture is a culture of man's dominance, where it believes that men dominate, men rule. You know, some people say it's a man's world. Men, they are, men are only supposed to be president, men are supposed to be this, men are supposed to be that. It's a man's world. Do you understand me? So we live in a world where even culture, many culture believe that a woman cannot be this, a woman is just a housewife and things like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So with structural patriarchal culture, where it is believed that the world is a man's world, man's dominance, and the women are treated as second class citizens. This view is not just happening in the 20th century. It is a view that has come true for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's come in for thousands of years. Though we can safely say the treatment of women is now relatively low in our world. Because today, women, as we progress, we see in those worlds how women were treated. Today, we see how women that are, you know, we have women that are still being treated fair. In quotes and unquote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is an extreme culture. patriarchal is history. Yet in our days, there's a rise of another extreme movement. I said patriarchal culture is an extreme culture. Now, today in our world, there's a rise of another extreme movement called the feminist movement. And it's driving the world to what is called matriarchal culture, a matriarchal culture, where with women dominance, driving the world, is another extreme movement, or rather put, an extreme agenda, which is that movement seeks to rival the men's patriarchal culture, to show that women are dominant, a dominant gender, with a better intelligence quotient, which is IQ, than the men. That's what they believe. That the women have a better intelligence IQ than the men. Saying that the world should be run by emotional beings and not by strength. Because they say the man's mode of ruling is strength. And they said, no, we need people who are intelligent to drive the 21st century. And they have come up with a rival system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This movement is also not new to 21st century. It's not a new movement to the 21st century. Hallelujah. It has also been in existence at different points in time, all through the years and centuries. They've always been a movement to counter the patriarchal system, which in itself is extra. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those breakouts or those rivals have come both from scriptures and even to our dear nation, Nigeria. You've heard of the Aba Women Riot in 1929. And the remote cause of the Aba Women Riot in 1929 is the fact that they were restricted from government, from the practice of, from the government of their day. Rather, the British colonial system used the male warrant chiefs, males as warrant chiefs, and that caused what we call Aba Women Riot. From and the women riots, we have women from Bende, Umuahia. Then we had Bende as a state. Hallelujah. Bende as a, well, I put it now. It's not because they didn't have faith then, as a region. Hallelujah. The Bende region. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the remote cause was because women were sidelined from the government, appointment of warrant chiefs and things like that, and also government appositions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have come now to answer the question. Is God patriarchal? Because some people are of the belief that God is patriarchal and feminism is a rebel against God. Some people also say, scripture is patriarchal. That is why Paul will say to a woman, will say women should not teach or prophesy in the churches. So God is patriarchal. That is what people say. But is that really true from scripture? Is God patriarchal? Is God feminist? Where is God? And we are answering that question today. Where is our God? Hallelujah. So it will also take off from where we stopped on the revelation of God. But not necessarily discussing the revelation of God today, but we will want to ask that question, where is God? Hallelujah. I will take off by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. As our custom is, during GPLR, get starting from where? 2 Timothy 3. If you've not noticed, go and listen to previous ones. We'll start from 2 Timothy 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2. Sorry, I made a mistake. from verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the works of truth. We're going to open a lot of scriptures, so I hope you're ready. Hallelujah, and I'll be fast. Now, the word study is the word in the Greek, spodizo. Spodizo. It is from another word, spodei. Spodei. Spodei is used for speed, haste, speed, haste. And it's used to show effort and eagerness. Effort and eagerness. Let's look at scriptures where the word spodei is used. In Mark 6, Mark 6 verse 25, Mark 6 verse 25. Others said, that is Elias. And others said, that is the prophet. Mark 6, 25. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king. That's the word haste. With haste unto the king. That's the word haste. You find it again in Luke 1:39. It says, and Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste. That is the word haste. Romans 12 verse 8. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. It says, all he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him give with simplicity. Let him that ruleth with diligence, and he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll find it also in Romans verse 11, It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find it also in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 11 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 7, 11 and 12. 11 and 12, it says, for behold, this self-made thing, ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this manner. That is the word vehement desire. Wherefore, though I wrote to you, I did it for his cause, that had done the wrong, not for the cause that suffered wrong, but that I care for you in the sight of God, might appear unto you. Hallelujah. You find it again in chapter 8, verse 7. It is therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence. That is the word diligence. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of forwardness. That's the word forwardness. Forwardness, haste. You find it also in verse 16. It says, but thanks be to God, which has put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. That's the word earnest. Earnest. You find it in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Hebrews 6:11. It says, and we desire that every one of you who shows the same diligence, that is the word diligence. 2 Peter 1:5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, the word diligence is again. Jude 3. It says, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto, that's the word diligence. Hallelujah. So the word spodizo or spodei is the word for diligence. Diligence. That is, it shows one's efforts. When you say diligence, forwardness, haste, it shows one's effort. So when Paul in 2 Timothy, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. When Paul says, study to show thyself approved. He's telling Timothy that Timothy needs to put in effort. Hallelujah. Put in effort. Says, study to show thyself approved. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the works of truth. Remember, at this point, Timothy was already in the heat of false doctrine. If you read verse 16, it says, but shun profane and vain babbling, so they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you understand me? Are you seeing that? Verse 14, so he says, and this put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So there was already false doctrine. People are already teaching other things. They were already false doctrine around in Ephesus. And Paul writes to Timothy and tells Timothy, be diligent. Be diligent. Put effort to show yourself as one approved by God. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So Paul tells Timothy to give himself to proper interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he calls that a worker. That word worker is the word in the Greek, egati in the Greek. Egati. Egati is used for a toiler. A toiler, one who toils. It's a worker. So that means Bible study is labor. See the way you labor to pray? That's labor. Bible study is not bedtime story. It's not what you just sit in the night and just like, No. Bible study is labor. If you have not started spending 3 hours studying, Bible study is labor. I hear me.
Yes,
glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, this piece we have here that I'm teaching to you, I didn't sit down to write it one day. I didn't arrive in one day. It didn't take me one hour. So it's labor because you are searching scripture, patriarchal and feminism. Praise God. So it's study. Hallelujah. It's study. Hallelujah. So Paul calls it labor. He says a worker, a laborer. So anyone who is in proper Bible interpretation, who is given to proper Bible interpretation, is a laborer. He said that needed not be ashamed. He said rightly dividing the words of truth. I'll pick that word rightly dividing the words of truth. As I've always said in previous teaching, that word rightly dividing the words of truth should be read together in the Greek. It's the word ototomio lugon aletheia in the Greek. Ototomio lugon aletheia. I'll break it a bit. The word ototomio is the word that implies to rightly go through scriptures and cut it carefully. Ototomio. It's a word used for a surgeon. A surgeon doesn't just get and just say, hey, you want to do surgery? Come here and just tear your body like cadaver. A surgeon will take his time, right? To make sure he's cutting straight. He's looking at it. His surgeon is careful, right? So Paul says to Timothy, in arriving at Bible truth, you must apply diligence. You must apply carefulness. You don't rush. Really, on every issue in scripture, don't be in a rush. I've heard someone say, I was just walking and the Lord said to me to tell the children of God, that's what I'm preaching to you now. I'm preaching it to you now. The Lord gave me a word for you, and the word for you today is that, no. When it comes to Bible study, you have to teach it to children of God. We don't stand up and talk nonsense. No, it's labor. You hear me? It's labor. Because I know I'm going to stand in front of you. Even while we're praying yesterday, some of you will see me coming here. I'm still reading my notes, reading it, to making sure that what I'm going to teach will be free from errors. I have to send to also a pastor colleague, a pastor friend of mine. I sent to him, please help me review it. So that I don't come here to teach nonsense. It's labor. Labor. Go through. I like points that you think I wasn't too elaborate. Let me look at it again. Let me go through. Do you understand? Because it's labor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's labor. So he says, ototomio. It means to be careful. A believer, a pastor, shouldn't gloss at words. I hear me. Don't just use word carelessly. No. Now, when he uses the word logon aletheia, that word logon is where you have the word logos from. Logos. I hear me. Logon. L-O-G-O-N. Logos. Logon aletheia. That's the word of truth. Logon aletheia. Hallelujah. You know, I know we belong to a world where people say, you don't go for logos, you go for just logos. That is using words inappropriately. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When he uses the word logos, aletheia, it's the same word. It's the same thing he's telling him in that same verse 2. Look at verse 2. There was in verse 2. He said, and the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses. He said, the same commit to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. That is the logos. That is the word of truth. That is the logos, aletheia, the message of the scriptures. In chapter 3, verse 16, he says, verse 16, he says, from a child you've known the holy scripture which are able to make thee wise. Holy scripture. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Grammar. Holy scripture which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That is all scripture. Graphe. Now when you use the word grammar, graphe, they are all the logos. Are you saying that? They are all the logos. The word of truth. Hallelujah. He calls it scriptures. Glory to God. So let's see another writer. How he uses the word logos. That would be John. John uses that word logos or logos. Hallelujah. Before we look at John, let's investigate the word logos or logos. It's from another word lego. From another word lego. Lego. It is used for a systematic set of discussion or of discourse. A systematic set of discourse which involves something said inclusive of thoughts. It involves something said, but that's what is said is from a predetermined thought. I say that from a predetermined thought. So logos is first a plan, it's first a thought pattern before it is said or executed. Logon or logos is first a thought pattern before it is said or interpreted or executed. So when I get to John 1, and John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When John says that, he uses the word, in the beginning was the Word. Investigate that word, beginning. When he says, in the beginning, your mind goes to Genesis. Are you saying that? He goes to Genesis. Where is the beginning? Genesis. Genesis, in Genesis we have, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So when John's beginning is Genesis. Did you see that? In the beginning, he goes back to Genesis. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and God is the Word. When he says beginning, we say it goes to Genesis, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis. He says, what do you have in the beginning? He says, the Word. Did you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Hope you're following me. Genesis 15:1. He says, after this thing, he says, the Word of God, of the Lord, came to Abraham in a vision. Did you see that? In the beginning, Genesis, you have the Word. Did you see that? What's the Word? He said, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That word, the Word was God, is the word in the Greek, logon theos, which is logon is God. The Word is God. I see? Hallelujah. You know, I know the Jehovah Witness, they will say the Word is a God. That is wrong. The Word is not a kind of God. No, the Word is God. Hallelujah. That is deception. That is not the truth. The Word is not a God or a kind of God. No, the Word is God. Hallelujah. That is the Greek rendering. Logos. It implies that what was spoken from the beginning, what was spoken from the beginning, from Genesis, which we can call, remember we said logon is a systematic, right? It's systematic. So that means what was spoken from Genesis, which we now have as scriptures, is God. That's what Paul, that is what he's saying. What we now have as scriptures, what was spoken, which we now have as scriptures, right? Points to God. Hallelujah. It points to God. So we can call it God's study. God's story. The scriptures is God's study. The scriptures are God's stories. So when you say it's God's study, it means it is theology. The Bible is theology. Theology is the, is some, is a Greek word. It's a combination of two. Theos and the study of God, right? Hallelujah. Study of God. Theos is used for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said the Bible study is theology. The scripture is God's study. That is, as believers, the only way God can be studied is in the scriptures. See, I know there are people who try to explain God outside the scriptures with some other material. I've tried to do that before years back, and I discovered that it was fruitless. It was useless, because the only way God can be known is in the scriptures. Are you hearing me? The only way God can be known is in the scripture. God can be studied in the scripture. So, when the writers of scriptures wrote, when Moses was writing, they were writing God's story. They were writing God's story. They were writing deliberately and writing God's story. And in writing God's story, you will find that the writers will write about the story of man. You find man's story, you find God's story. But you know what? That is how God's story is known. It's known in the activities of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's known in the activities of men. So that means in man's story, you find God's study. Therefore, God can be studied in man's story. Or put, man will be key in God's story. Man will be key in God's story. In Numbers 14, where we read earlier on this morning, Numbers 14. Are you there? Numbers 14. Look at verse 19. This. What's up, verse 18? It says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. For okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I guess my hands are free now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was someone said, I heard you don't like using mic. I don't know who told the people that too. Okay. So, where were we? Verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to my word. But as true as I live, saith the Lord, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, here's something you have to see. In the midst of man's story of rejection, because man rejected God. Hallelujah. Man rejected God. Right? Man was unbelieving. Yet, we'll find God as loving and forgiving. So when he uses the word, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers. You know, many a times, I've said that to us several, I'm going to repeat it again. Many a times when people think, when they say, I will visit the iniquity of the father upon the third and fourth generation, they think God is going to come with vengeance and kill the third. No, no, no. When I say, I will visit the iniquity, that is the word to forgive. It's used for forgiving. Right? So get the message on revelation of God. We've explained that systematically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God will be known in man's story. See, in man's story of rejection, what did God say? I will forgive. So, I will know that God is a forgiving God. Did you see that? Where will I find that? In man's story. Man's story of rejection, we'll find a forgiving God. We'll find a loving God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, during last year GPLR, we said, how theology will be read, how God will be studied will be in Christology. Was that what we said? We say God will be studied in Christology. Now we're going to take that a bit further in this year's GPLR by saying the conclusion of all that they wrote will be found in Christ study.
the conclusion of all that they wrote in the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi, what they said, what the prophet spoke about, will be found in Christology, in Christ study. In Christ study. So Jesus will put it this way in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Come on. Yes, I'm moving fast enough. Luke 24, 25. Are you there? It says, Jesus on his way, the two guys, Cleopas, on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus met them. Look at what Jesus said in verse 6. It says, call them all put love after believing, not the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Say, beginning at Moses. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus said, Jesus started teaching them on their way to Emmaus. They told them beginning as where? Moses. Do you see that? So Jesus began to teach them from Moses. Where is Moses? Genesis. To begin at Moses and all the prophets. He explained unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In verse 44, he was in a larger audience. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was there with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, which he was teaching them. And he said, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the things concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, something you need to see. Where was Jesus reading from? Jesus was reading. So, where was Jesus reading from? Jesus was reading from Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? He was reading. So, what in Jesus' day, Jesus would not have been saying, open your Bible. They had Bibles. Jesus wouldn't have been saying, open your Bible to Matthew, because there was no Matthew. Jesus wouldn't have been saying, open your Bible to Romans. There was no Romans. Are you hearing me? So, what did Jesus have as Bible? Genesis to Malachi. That is what he called scriptures. That's what they call scriptures. So scriptures is Genesis to Malachi. Are you following me? Are you following me? So they will call it Old Testament book. No. What they call it in the days of Jesus is not Old Testament book. It's called the Law and the Prophets. Are you following me? The Law is a beginning at Moses and all the prophets. This is that? The Law of Moses and all the prophets. So it's called the Law and the Prophets. Are you following me? Hope you're following me. So it's not called Old Testament books like we do call it today. Very wrong. So when Jesus says beginning at Moses, or when he uses the word which were written in the law of Moses, when he says beginning at Moses, he's referencing Moses' five books from Genesis. Did you see that? From Genesis. So when he uses the word beginning, just like John will use the word beginning, is the word arche in the Greek. Arche, A-C-H-E. Arche. Arche is used for a model. A model. Arche, a model. The first, an author. So, what Jesus is saying is that beginning at Moses will imply Moses is the author. Moses is the model of writing in scripture. Moses is the first to write in scriptures. Did you see that? To write scriptures. So when he now uses the word arche, which is the word model, it then means that, come on, Moses is now not just the beginning. He becomes for us the model, one whom other writers will write from. I've said that to Russell Van again. Hallelujah. Other writers in scriptures will follow from Moses. Hallelujah. Every other writer will prophesy from Moses. Yeah. But some people tell us Moses is gone. It is Old Testament. We're not in New Testament. If Moses is gone, your salvation is gone. We're going to see that soon. Hallelujah. No, Moses is not gone. Hallelujah. Jesus also spoke from Moses. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Meaning other writers will prophesy from Moses. This will include Jesus. Jesus will speak from Moses And also the apostles. Jesus will write for Moses. He will speak for Moses. They will write for Moses. Look at Nehemiah. Even in the, what we call the Old Testament book. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. If you don't know where it is, just throw your Bible away. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8, 8. So, look at what it says. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Did you see that? They read from where? The book of the law of God. Where is the book of the law of God? Moses. Did you see that? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They read it. Even in the same Old Testament. Did you see that? So that means Ezra is reading from there. Are you following me? I hope you are following me. Okay. He refers to Moses. So they have to interpret Moses. We could say where every other prophet prophesied from was from Moses. Hallelujah. What every other prophet in the Bible, even in the same Old Testament, what they had as Bible was Moses. I'll show you more. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33. Is this not Old Testament? We've not entered the New Testament section. No. This is Old Testament section. Let's see. Second Chronicles 33. Are you there? Are you there? Look at verses 8. Neither will I anymore remove the foot. Second Chronicles. Are you sure? Okay. Neither will I remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I appointed for your fathers. They will take heed to do all I've commanded them according to the whole law. Did you see that? When you say according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hands of who? By the hands of who? So it refers to Moses' book. Can you see that? Let's go again to Ezra. Ezra. You don't know where Ezra is in your Bible? Wrap your Bible and throw it away. Hallelujah. Can I still wrap it now? Amen. Okay, in Ezra, chapter 7, look at verse 6. It says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe. A ready scribe means he was a scholar. A ready scribe in the law of Moses. Did you see this? Which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his request according to the hands of the Lord his God upon him. He was a ready scribe, a scholar in what? In Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Did you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So he was learned in Moses. Let's get back again to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13 verse 1. See, on that day, they read the book of Moses in the audience. Did you see that? So what were they doing? They were teaching Moses in the audience. That was what they had in the Bible. People get and they would teach Genesis to Deuteronomy. Did you see that? Are you following me? In the days of where Nehemiah. And they read the book of Moses in the audience of the people. And therein was found written that the Amorites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of God forever. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You read from Moses. So, when you hear Logos or Logon, so the Logon of every other writer, the Logos of every other writer in scriptures will be the same with who? Moses. Because Moses is the model. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay, model of writing. Look at Luke. Before we get to Luke, let's see Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Look at the apostles. We've seen that Jesus taught for Moses too, right? Let's see the apostles chapter 3. From verse 20, it says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, who say whom? said, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. So what did he call? Who did he call the prophet? 1, verse 22, for Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that? Who was the first? Moses. He started for Moses. Acts 28. Let's see. Paul. Just saying that you further understand this. Verse 23, this is Paul, and Paul in castration, he says, and when they had appointed him a day, they came to him many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of God, persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of who? He was teaching Jesus from Moses. Can you see that? Because Paul will not be quoting Matthew. There was no Matthew, there was no Mark. But he will have to teach Jesus from who? Moses. So where did he start from? Persuaded out of the law of Moses and from the prophets morning to evening. Did you see that? So where was he teaching Jesus from? Moses. So anybody that comes and says Moses is gone, don't teach Moses. Moses is Old Testament. Even Paul taught Jesus from where? Moses. Let's see Jesus in John. Okay, before we get to John, okay. Before we get to John, look at that Luke again, Luke 22, 4, 25. Luke 24, 25. We'll get to John. It says, O fool, slow about to believe in all the prophets, so say, all the causes of all the sin and the things of the say, begin at Moses and all the prophets, yet turned unto them in all the scriptures where the things concerning himself. What Jesus is saying is the fact that Moses and all the prophets, which is Genesis and to Malachi, will find their conclusion on him. Did you see that? Will find their conclusion on who? On him. They expanded to them the things concerning himself. That means the conclusion of what they wrote is concerning the Christ. So if you read Moses and all the prophets, Moses and every other prophet together, you see that all their writings was pointing to Christ. So that is why Paul can teach Jesus from Moses. John 5:39. Hope you're following me. Am I fast? I'm fast. John 5:39. You need a man of pages I have to finish. You tell me MG. Fly on. Okay, no problem. The people are already drawing Mickey Mouse. John 5:39. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Say, these are they that testify of me. When it says scripture, what does it mean here? Genesis to Malachi. So you start, remember that is what they call scriptures, right? But I want to show you something. What Jesus was referring to here as scripture is actually Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five book of Moses. Because he was specific. He said, you start the scriptures. He said, you tell me think you're eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. So that means the scriptures will testify of Christ. We're going to see something now. When he says the word testify, is the word material. Material. That is the word used for a witness. Material. Used for a witness. It implies to bear witness, to bear record to a conclusion. Material. To bear record to a conclusion of a matter. So it implies that what Moses wrote of, when you read it together, what Moses wrote of, when you read it together, it will conclude on Christ. Hope you're following me. Are you hearing me? So what Moses wrote of, he will read it together to conclude on Christ. Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. It says, verse 45, he says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe before he wrote of me. Who did Jesus say Moses wrote of? He said, Moses wrote of me. Hallelujah. Say, if you do not believe his writing, how would you believe my words? So that means Moses' writings will conclude on Christ. Are you hearing me? So the summation of Moses' writing will be Christology. Are you following me? Will be Christology. So very important. Also, we have an example in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Now, in Samaria, Samaria don't believe in other prophets, only believe in Moses. What they have as scripture in Samaria is just Moses. Are you following me? It's just Moses' writing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They don't have any other prophet. Hallelujah. Because their nation, the nation was divided. It's not what I want to discuss today. Hallelujah. You know, at some point, Israel became divided. So Samaria is like, they call Samaria mixed multitudes. They were the mixed multitude. They refer to them as the mixed multitude from Egypt. So what they only had as scripture was Moses' 5 books. Yet, having only Moses' 5 books, look at what the woman said. Are you with me? Now, look at verse 9. They said, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Verse 25, they said, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. How does she know that the Messiah will come? She only has Moses. That is, when you read Moses together, Moses concludes on Christ. That's what Jesus is saying in John 5. Do you see that? He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote concerning me. That's what Jesus said. Moses wrote concerning me. That means when Moses was writing, if I read all Moses' writings together, it will talk about the Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? We'll get there shortly. You will see. Hallelujah. Because when Moses wrote, and Moses said, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. That word, I am that I am, is a word used for the incarnation. Hallelujah. When he said, I am that I am, means God is saying, I will become a man. So what Moses will be writing, the conclusion of it will be, God will be a man. You may not necessarily go to Moses and then you will see Jesus. No. Jesus, the name Jesus is an interpretation. Christ is an interpretation of what they wrote. Are you following me? So you will not go and find, this is Jesus. Yes. No. Hallelujah. But what they were writing, if you read together, it will point to the Christos. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that's why I always tell you, make sure you listen to messages always, because I will always explain this thing. Glory to God. Make sure you're listening to your pastor's message. Make sure you're listening to my message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means, look at Romans. Look at what Paul will say in Romans chapter 1. Can you see why Bible study is careful? Hallelujah. What I'm doing now, I'm going to show you something. What I'm doing now, we're answering the question of patriarchy and feminism, right? Look at where I'm starting from. How did I learn this? it's scripture. These guys are Moses' roots. You see that shortly. Let's not Moses write. This is where you are going to go. You have to set things right. Do you understand this? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see something. Romans 1, verse 1. I'm taking a break out of my notes that some of you can join up. That you can come in. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore. He calls it separated to who? Gospel of God, right? Come on, gospel of God. Which he promised afore, that is to promise before time, by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? So that means what you have in Genesis and to Malachi, if you've listened to Understanding the Gospel series 2A and 2B, I told us that the gospel was ministered in the Old Testament book as a promise. Right? You see it here? The gospel of God, which was promised. Hallelujah. In the mouth of the prophet, in the Holy Scriptures. What was it all about? It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So that means what they have as the gospel was a promise of Christ.
But Christ will not be an interpretation of it. So the conclusion of what they wrote is concerning Christ. Are you following me?
That's what Moses, that's what Paul is saying here. Say concerning Christ our Lord Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying the same thing.
At the conclusion of what the prophets wrote of will be concerning Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
From ginseng, you enter something else.
You are here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Very soon you begin to leave your group. Let your group.
Sorry. It's just ginseng. Hey, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Okay. So what that shows you is that scripture is theology. Right? And theology will find its conclusion in Christology. Christology is the study of Christ. Hallelujah. So the conclusion of Christ, of theology is Christology. If your conclusion of theology doesn't lead to Christology, what you have, as I said during our teaching on revelation of God, is idol worship.
If your theology leads to anything else that is not Christology, is idol worship. If what you are getting from the reading of scripture is money, you are an idol worshipper. Amen.
You say, oh, you are done with this. You say, no,
there are different ways to serve God. There are different roads to open the market. There are different roads to mommy market. Come on! You have either way. You say, there are different rules. You know, sometimes you just put your head and just allow one man. You are one guy, don't worship.
Glory to God. Just simple. Glory to God. Amen. So that means God can only be known in Christ.
You cannot know God after Christ. I beg to say it again. You cannot know God after Christ. God can only be known in Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can only be known, explained in Christ. Look at John 1:17. Are you following me? John 1 verse 17. He said, for the law was given by Moses. Say grace. Did I say verse 17?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Verse 17. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Say, no man has seen God at any time. Say, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Did you see that? No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Hallelujah. So God is explained in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Luke 24. Hope you are following me. Luke 24, 27.
This is Jesus. Back to Luke 4:27.
It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Now that word expound, quickly, is the word diamenu. I'm surprised I don't have
okay,
it
here. Oh,
I've skipped my note, but I'm coming back. Now, when I say beginning at Moses, it means from Genesis, right? Right? From Genesis. I love what the dear man of God said, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. He says, every major truth will be seen in Genesis first. I took a hold of that. Hallelujah. Every major truth will be seen in Genesis 4. So, from Moses, we'll have a systematic way of interpreting and reading scriptures. That was how Jesus explained scriptures. Jesus will always start from Moses. Hallelujah. I've taught you that over and again, right? Jesus will always start from Moses. What Jesus will call seed will be the same thing Moses will call seed. What Jesus will call water will be the same thing Moses will call water, because he's explaining from Moses. Are you seeing that? So the way to read scripture is to start from where? Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a systematic way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll find the apostles to do the same thing. I guess we've looked at that, but let's just see something. Acts 2.21. I don't know why I have to put this here, but let's look at it. Acts 2.21. Sorry, it's about the Acts 3.21 that we've read. Acts 26.20. We've read all this now. So, how come I skipped my notes this way? Acts 28, sorry, 23. I skipped my words like this. 28, 23, we've read it. So the apostles too will read from where Moses, right? So everybody reads from Moses. Hallelujah. So if the apostles does not if they don't interpret from Moses, it will imply that they were not the apostles of Christ. Because he was followed you, your master, right? Jesus started from Moses, you have to read from Moses. Hallelujah. Now, I'm showing you how our scripture is interpreted. How to read your Bible. How to read your Bible in this simple way. Hallelujah. You start from where? I say that. How many of you want to write an exam? They gave you a test book. And you just carried your test book. Those of you who... And just go to chapter 5. You didn't read chapter 1, 2, 3, chapter 5. I'm led to read chapter 5. You have an exam, oh? From chapter 5, we go to chapter 19. Woo! For knowing chapter 19, I know from chapter 1. Don't worry. Guys, that's what was very lazy. You want to read your Bible? You carry your Bible up and you say many, many, many more. Everybody, you show me love. Show me love. The Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay attention. The Lord has something. You now open to Obadiah. Obadiah verse 16. The Lord is saying, hallelujah. How many of you would like your lecturer to just come into the class and he says, today, in this teaching, in this topic, we are not starting from chapter 1. Once I get to chapter 15, you know chapter 1. You say, this lecturer is not normal, right? Hallelujah. So you must always start from the beginning of your book. Beginning of your book. So you don't get to your Bible. So we need to read from Genesis. Some people run away from Genesis down to Malachi. They'll tell you it's boring. Can you start to see how boring your life too has become? Hallelujah. You start from Genesis. Glory to God. Start from Genesis. Amen. That's how scriptures are interpreted. And in reading from Genesis, you must understand that when they wrote scriptures, they were not writing to you. Or, first of all, before you get there, when reading from Genesis, you must understand that when they wrote scriptures, they wrote it as letters. As letters. So, they didn't write it as in chapters. How many of you want to write English exam? And they write a letter to your father. I say, Dear Daddy, Chapter 1. I, your son. Your second son, your most beloved son, yeah, very right, sir. Verse 2. You fail, right? So when they wrote as letters. Hallelujah. So when the chapters and the verses were just added some years back, not even up to 2000, not even up to 1,000 years back, I read the non-chapterized and verse-like the scriptures. Hallelujah. I read they put chapters and verses to it. For the chapters and verses are interpretation. It's a man's interpretation of. Do you understand me? So chapters and verses. So when they wrote, they didn't write in chapters. Are you hearing me? So you read the Bible as a letter. In fact, I told someone in my office, I said, you read the Bible as a novel. Spend time, hold it and read. Hallelujah. Read it. Read it from the beginning. How many of you pick a novel and start from chapter 9? You start from the first verse. From the Lamia chapter 9, from the first chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were not written in verses. Also, let's look at Jesus. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Luke 24:27, he expounded. That word expound. Even me, your pastor, my phone is off. That word expound is the word in the Greek diamenu. Diamenu. Diamenu implies to interpret. Diamenu. To interpret. It also implies to interpret a language. A language. Or a dialect. To interpret a language. That word expound is what that means, to interpret a language or a dialect. Hallelujah. And that was what Paul too did in Acts 28. That was Saul, to interpret a language or a dialect. That word is from a Hebrew word, sekel. 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 It means to give a sense, to give intelligence to words. To give intelligence to words. Sekel. It's found in Nehemiah 8:8. That word we just read, Nehemiah 8:8. I hope you're following me. Nehemiah 8:8. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. That is the word, to give the sense. That is to give intelligence, to give interpretation. Hallelujah. So that means even Ezra, in the same Old Testament, Ezra, in the same Old Testament, they spoke the same Hebrew. Ezra had to interpret Moses' language. You see that? Ezra had to interpret, explain Moses' writing. Hallelujah. Here are references for the word sekel, so that you understand the word. I'm going to run through it. 1 Samuel 25:3. 1 Chronicles 22:12. 1 Chronicles 26:14. 2 Chronicles 2:12. 2 Chronicles 30:22, Ezra 8:18, Job 17:4, Psalms 111 verse 10, Proverbs 34, Proverbs 3:4, Proverbs 12:8. I'll take that again. 1 Samuel 25:3, 1 Chronicles 22:12, 26:14, 2 Chronicles 2:12, 2 Chronicles 30:22, Ezra 8:18, Job 17:4, Psalms 111 verse 10, Proverbs 3:4, and Proverbs 12:8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they will, Ezra would have to explain. Ezra would have to explain who? Explain Moses. Why would he do so? Even Jesus had to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the question is, why would Jesus or the prophets explain for Moses, including the apostles? Why would they explain for Moses? Hallelujah. Our journey has just started. Glory to God. We've not even started. Some people are already walking about.
Okay. How would they explain for Moses?
Before we look at that, the prophet, what the prophet had as scriptures, the prophets too, what they had as scripture was Moses. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17, what is Deuteronomy 17? Verses 18. It says, and it shall be, when he said, they're talking about a king, when he seated upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write them a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priests and the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear God, his God, to keep his words and law and statutes and to do them. You see that? Hallelujah. When he said that he may learn to fear, that he shall read it therein. So that means, a king in Israel is a teacher. You see that? A king in Israel is a teacher. He ought to teach. We are going to see how all this becomes relevant in this world. Hallelujah. A king is a teacher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they have to teach Moses' words. So when they read it, and they will teach from there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, that is why when you get to Moses, I mean to David, the Bible says David was teaching. People were sitting down in the king's court. You know, you come to the king's court and you sit down, and the king will read the Torah. It's called Torah. Torah is Moses' 5 books, right? We'll read the Torah. And when he's done reading the Torah, he would now explain. So one day, they saw Moses. He was not reading the Torah. And he just stood up. By the Spirit of God, just stood up. And he said, the Lord says to my Lord. They know him as the Lord. But he said, no, I'm not the Lord. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies your footstool. This is that. That is the word Yahweh says to my Adonai. Ah! That was big. He was supposed to be the king. But he says, no, I'm not the king. He is giving interpretation to Moses. This is that. I said, no, I'm not the king. The king, I follow him. I'm not the king. So when he says, the Lord says to my Lord, he's referring to the incarnation. In fact, the original Greek, I mean the original Hebrew word is Yahweh says to Yahweh. God says to God. And he's talking about the incarnation. Sit at my right hand. So he gave an illustration. Hallelujah. Moses will read. David will read. And then he will play it out as Psalms. What are the Psalms? The Psalms are the words of Moses in a what? Redeemic form. That is the Psalms. Are the words of Moses. Explanation of Moses in a redeemic form. What is Proverbs? Proverbs are the words of Moses in a proverb. That's very simple. The book of Proverbs are the words of Moses. I've taught you that, right? Proverbs are used in the Greek. It's called parabole. It's what is cast alongside. So when Solomon sits in his court and he teaches them the book of Moses, all the parables he uses to teach them is what you have at the book of Proverbs. Are you hearing me? So if you read Proverbs and Proverbs does not drive you back to Moses, you are reading something else. Are you following me? If you read the book of Psalms and it doesn't take you back to Moses, look at Psalm 72. Come on, quickly. Psalm 72. Let's just look at something quickly. Hope you are following what I'm teaching you. Hope you are following me. Okay. Psalm 72. Verse 19, it says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be full with his glory. Amen and amen. Where is he reading from? Is that not Numbers? The earth shall be full of the glory of the Lord. Right? Is that not Numbers? So Moses at this point, David at this point, he's prophesying from where? Numbers. Are you following me?
Glory
to God. That is who a prophet is. Amen. So the prophet is not the one that comes and says, hit your left pocket. There's a picture there. Don't bring it out. That picture has four persons in it. Your father, your grandmother, and your late grandfather. Say, professor! Say, papa, professor! No. I love this prophet. Hallelujah. Say, papa! Major one!
No, not only Major One.
He's Air Force One. Hallelujah! You know God? Say, Papa! Give me one. Oh, I see you.
Oh, go like this.
You don't need of Roma, just on that cruise. That young Roma, it means the downfall. You watch it. Very soon, after we get to the news. Emoji, professor!
Daddy.
I asked you a small boy. I said, yeah! Yeah! Hey, perfect. I was watching one short clip.
Hey, my God.
And the boy just gave one professor that clip. Come back here! Does that make you say, Major War? You have not had any ministry, are you throwing mic?
When it starts, he said, because I see hope. Is your father's name Hope? It's a prophet. See, why did I tell you this? Because all those nonsense, I did it. Ah! Those people I used a sacrificial lamb in school. Ah! Sometimes I say, let me just go and be apologizing to them. I use looking for sacrificial lamb.
Sacrificial?
Ah,
there's
something
I didn't. You don't want to know
some. So when I tell you yes to call, you say, ah, emoji. You do have to. They stay there. There's some things I did. So if I'm telling you this today, sometimes I say, see. Let me tell you what they did. One guy, a police guy, stopped one of my friends.
Prophet! You don't know how to pay fast to his car. You like, go and try it. They will pound your car.
Okay, Major One, no problem.
Hallelujah. So, you believe all right? Your paper will not harass him. The guy looked at that and said, I'm a prophet. He said, what do you say, prophet? I'll tell you something. You were born, now give him the day he was born. Okay? And then Noah, the hospital you were born is this the game. If I say, yeah. And I said, in fact, you know, the man was not like, no, but try to. You know some police are stubborn when your grave is closed. And say, let me tell you the day you die. The police are just never. How much should I give you, man? The police are saying, I say, how much should I give you, man of God? Man of God, let me give you money. Ah, that is so
true. Hallelujah. I use prophetic whatever, all this prophetic nonsense to collect. I was having cooler ministry. I had some levels of cooler ministry in school. Hallelujah. But I thank God. Hallelujah. Because that is not what makes a man a prophet. A prophet is what? How you interpret scripture. A prophet is the word propheticon. One who speaks on behalf of. It's on the Hebrew word Nabi. It's one who speaks on behalf of. So a prophet is not known by, I see your left grandmother, I see your right. No. A prophet is known by how you explain scripture. So a teacher of the word is a prophet. In fact, one who, I showed us already tongues and interpretation, right? Another look at tongues and interpretation. I showed you that a prophet is one who gives the tongues and gives interpretation, right? Right? That's a prophet. Not, those are the days where I love Jalabia. Not white. That was not it. In my school days, there were some other things I used to use. I used to have one. Mantu. Yeah, you see it. I have one mantu.
I'll post that picture tomorrow. You see, that is Ogaman of God. And I have a big hat that I used to wear.
As in, when I walk like this, people, some people, when I walk, people are giving me scared. Imagine a cult is coming to a meeting carrying gun. I say,
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Above Jesus. Let's continue. So you now know who a prophet is. Right? Glory to God. How many of you will be attacked in the night by a cultist and they want to break your head?
They are with, I tell them, I will just turn as they see. Just be embarrassed as they say, don't be good. And the guy, as in, like cold water, I just turn. How did you Power.
And we're not preaching the gospel. No, he was preaching. He was listening to scriptures well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So those are in years to come, that something I did in school, when I know I cannot be forgiven, I cannot say it to you people. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pop up Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Continue. But the one I did not do, I did not give anybody comb. Okay, where were we? Prophets, right? Okay. So the prophets were explained for Moses, right?
Yes, sir.
Prophets are interpreters of Moses. Take note of that. Prophets are first interpreters of Moses. First interpreters of Moses. And you will now see some prophets reading from other prophets. Some prophets will read from other prophets who read from Moses. Hallelujah. Are you following me? A prophet that reads from other prophets who read from Moses. Glory to God. Very important. Like, it was believed that, the writer of Chronicles wrote from, which is Ezra, though. He wrote from the writer of Samuel. Are you following me? Amen. Wrote from the writer of Samuel. And, you know, there are some stories there. So, they will have to write from themselves. Do you understand me? You have to interpret from this person. So, it's a progression. Are you hearing me? It's a progression. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it is believed that Ezra, who wrote from the writer of Samuel, also wrote from Isaiah. So, things like that. So, they wrote from each other. And Isaiah was majorly prophesying from who? Prophesying from Moses. So you see, everything will still boil down to Moses. So don't run away from Moses. Let's hear somebody say, Moses is gone. Leave Moses. Tell the person that I stand with Moses. If I miss Moses, I miss Jesus. You don't know. Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you believe my words. See, if you cannot believe Moses, you can't believe me. Amen. Above Jesus. Uh-huh. So Peter will say something in 2 Peter 1:19. Peter, in 2 Peter 1:19. Hope you are following me. I know I have the whole class. So I can now fire down. I have a whole lot to cover, you know. 2 Peter 1:9. It says, but he that... what would I say 2 Peter 1:9? 1:19. Okay. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto yet take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place. He said, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Did you see that? You cannot just come and pick boy and say, what Moses is saying here is that you have 10 children. No. He said, no prophecy of scripture. You cannot have my own view. I heard someone one day saying, this is my own view of the scripture. No, you don't have your own view. Peter says no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. But what happened? He says, but who? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what Peter is saying here is that ye take it unto it, verse 18, as a light that shines in the dark place. I've explained this to us in our teaching, the inward witness. Right? As a light that shines in the dark places, is used for, when you use the word light that shineth in the dark places, till the day be done and the day star rises in your heart, is a word for progressive revelation of God. It means that there was a progressive revelation of God from Genesis down to Malachi and concludes on Christ. So when that says, till the day star rises in your heart, the day star will be referring to the person of Christ in his incarnation, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the coming days, I'll still do more explanation to that. That said, we're looking at the word Dameneu, right? Right? Okay. And why would they have to interpret for Moses? That said, as time progressed, even for Moses, language changed. Language changed. For example, I said something today, in this our same generation, this is our same world. How many of you know the word Obotos? You don't know.
But I knew that word when I was in primary 3. Some of you were not even born then. But it is the same generation. Did you see? Now imagine I wrote a book when I was in primary 3 and I wrote, and the boy shouted, "Oh, but you say, what is it? It's not a dictionary, right? Language has evolved, right? Hallelujah, it has evolved. So in their day, I'm saying that because Nehemiah too had to interpret Moses. Because even within those periods, there's something we'll get going to see. Different dispensation. Even within those periods, they have had several movements. Language has evolved. What they were speaking when they left Egypt was actually Hebrew. But after then, they went into some countries, so they had some vagabonds, some vernaculars rather. Some vernaculars added, a lot of mixtures added to their languages. You understand? So you have to give a sense to what Moses has said earlier. Are you following me? We'll get to see that soon. So, as time evolved, language changed. Culture evolved too. Culture evolved. Hallelujah. But the truth of the written word is the same. God doesn't evolve. God's word doesn't evolve. No. Language can evolve. Like the stupid young guy that says he knows who Paul's father is. How he doesn't know who Paul's father is? He says, Paul say, my old man was crucified with Christ. That's who is your old man? Your old man is your popsy. So when Paul says, my old man, he was referring to his popsy. You know that he has taken something. Either he's on drugs or about to get inducted into drug dealing. Hallelujah. What can you say? If you are even Paul, when you say that even Paul will say, interesting. Paul will need to jot your new sermon. Well, even he doesn't even know. He was referring, hallelujah. No, Paul wasn't saying, when he said my old man, wasn't referring to his father. Eh? Your old man can be your father, but Paul's old man wasn't his father. Language has evolved, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you are following me. In fact, when I was in GS2, there was nothing like gigabytes. What we had was kilobytes. In fact, kilobytes was even in diskettes. So how many of you know diskettes here? Amen and amen. You know diskettes? Wow. We have ancient of these here. Hallelujah. Now, we have diskettes. It was in kilobytes. In fact, the first day, let me say this. I'm leaking my own spirit out. The first day, I saw, it was 10 megabytes. Shit. It was as if I have tera. You know, terabytes. I have a hexabyte. God. You know what we call hard disk drive then? When you are trying to, then I learned to own a system. I learned how to own a system with diskettes. Before you own that system, you ever put first diskette, it will boot. You remove the first, put the second diskette, it will boot. Put the third diskette, then the fourth one, it will now start. You now have Windows 95. Can. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I knew. Hallelujah. That's what I knew. So, now, we now have hard disk drive. That hard disk drive, today, you lose your laptop, you carry your hard drive. Yeah, how many hard drives? Oh, this is 1 terabyte. They're very heavy. How many? You just get 50 MB. 50 megabytes. You know, going back and looking at like, wow, this world is becoming lovely. There was also iPhone. I remember one time my father went to court in Calabar. He had to call us on Intercom. I want to talk to Oye. Oye, your papa, they are calling you. He's the daddy, daddy. Hello, Intercom. Hallelujah. But today, my father will be talking to me, nobody will know. Hallelujah. My phone will even be on silent and vibrate. Today, we now have a watch that you can use to pick up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Language also evolved, but the truth of God's word doesn't evolve. Hallelujah. It is the same. It doesn't change with language. Language of the world. Therefore,
One has to get back. So that means, if I want to understand what is written in the scripture, I have to get back to those days, right? Hallelujah. I have to get back to those days. Some of you, I called Windows 95 and you're like, what is that? Because what you know is Windows 13, right? Windows 10, no. Pentium, Core i7, not like Core. Which Core? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like that then. So if I want to now explain to you about a game I used to play then called Monster Truck. What do you think? Monster Truck? What are they monsters that carry? No.
Say that.
You have to go back to my world. My world is not different from yours, but just that you are not born.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Before you hear this, Pastor is talking as if he's already 50. I'm not too. Amen. We are just in the same world. Amen. Glory to God. Or
imagine I want to explain to Munachi today. I say, I used to remember when we used to use a cassette. The cassette. Cassette that has a rewinder. You know that is a rewinder. What's that? A rewinder. Now you can press pause and use remote to rewind. Then want to rewind back. Oh you take and go back. Come on now. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? I have said that to them. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So if I'm saying that, you have to come to my world. Daddy, what are you saying? I'm saying in my days. Now you can sit down and say, Mommy, phone. That's what she does. Say, Mommy, phone. Mommy, put Jingle Bell. In my world, the cassette my father used to play Jingle Bell, they would have, because it's once, you buy it once for all time. It will coil, you know, those cassettes, when it coils, you bring it out, you cut that part, you don't coil. Join it, you sell the tape, hold it. You know, Jingle Bell, do you see that in me? The remaining part is gone, hallelujah! Just be joining it. Or you tell your child, I used to play koso. Say, what is koso? Or I used to play table soccer. No, yeah, table soccer. Where I will remove my button and will play table soccer. They say, do you know table soccer? What you know is PS. Children of mercy. Hallelujah.
Children of mercy.
That's what you are. Hallelujah.
You're the God. And that is why when you see anybody who supports mind you and then is a lover of is a lover of mercy, that person is inconsistent, unstable, and has a demon. You know why? Because you will know that person is new generation. Old generation will know that it was a C. Ronaldo that labored for a man. So it's just chewing gum generation. I'll say, I'm a Lionel Messi fan, but I'm a Man U supporter. I'm just confused. Hallelujah. Let's continue. How did I get here? Damn you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you are following me. That's the most important thing, that you are following me. Right? And whatever illustration I'm giving is geared towards what we are studying. Hallelujah.
The Lord.
So that means when they wrote scripture, they were not writing to you. See, when Moses was writing, he doesn't know that one day when Joshua learned, you will be reading it. He doesn't know. But the Holy Ghost knows that you will read it. Hallelujah. But when Moses was writing, Moses didn't know. The Holy Ghost knows. But Moses didn't know. So how will Moses write? The Holy Ghost will not inspire you to write what you are not aware of. Come on! Hallelujah! Say, because I'm inside of the Holy Ghost, I will not be using words of 1929 or words of 2056. See, in that 2056, they'll be using words like... You don't know the words that they will use. So the Holy Ghost will lead you to write what they will use in 2050 in your language today. Are you following me? Remember I said, God will walk, you'll find God's story where? In the story of man. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Moses will write to the people in his world. But yet, the Holy Ghost knows that one day a Dorcas will be reading it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Moses writes is first of all spoken. Luke 24:44 says these are the words which Luke 24:25 say, all full slave to believe in all the prophets have spoken. So what the prophets spoke was what they wrote. That's why in verse 27 I say he expanded unto them in all the scriptures. So what was written was first spoken. Are you with me here? Okay. Okay. What's the first spoken? Okay. Question again to ask is, who did they speak to? Who did they write to? I've answered it already. They spoke to their immediate audience and they wrote to their immediate audience. Right? Right? So, if they wrote to their immediate audience, that means the mode of communication will be in the language of their immediate audience. Yes? Yes or yes? Yes. Right? Hallelujah. So, it will be in the format of understanding of their immediate audience. It also implies that it will carry the mode of communication of their audience. It will use their culture. Hallelujah. It will carry the mode of communication of the audience. It will use their culture. In fact, it will also use their profession. For example, I'm writing a book concerning the military life. Like some people have asked me to write on Remembrance Day. They said the one I wrote last year was top notch. I should make a book. Not only make a book. So now if I'm to write and I'm writing a book for, let's say, the military children, and I write and I suppose I'm the AOC. Ah! You know people that which one is AOC? If you're not in the base, if you're not in a barrack, you can't understand what I'm writing. Hallelujah. Because if I'm writing to a military environment, I will use words like makagia. You know what is makagia? If you don't know makagia, it's a Greek word. It's a Greek word for a woman leader who leads in a block, in the base or in the barrack. That's makagia. Amen. Amen. Are you following? Or hear words like, and somebody told me and say, and the SSM just walked in, say SSM. What is that? You say, you have to be in the base or in the barrack to know that, right? Or somebody is right there and say, and Mr. Shegu went to the mess. Ah! He said mess. What is mess? You know, if you are not in the military setting, you think mess means where they go and they are polluting different kind of pollution. Hallelujah. I had someone one time who was a teacher in secondary school. He was a teacher in Sunday school, in the Protestant Sunday school where I attended. I was not teaching us. He's not a military man, but he was a civilian who was teaching us in Sunday school. And he now told us, when your father goes to mess, you know what they go there to do? We didn't know. And I used that thing to come and tell my father at home. I'm giving you a progressive talk. So you say, when they go to mess, what they just do, they just sit and just be releasing different kind of emissions. So that's what they go there to do. So in that my mind, I can't go home one day. Because my father always goes to mess. I said, Daddy, if you go to mess, what do you go there to do? The man was surprised. I said, see. Our teacher, let me say it now, I would have said it then. Our teacher was on the school. They were go there, and they go there, go pollute, and they go there, go pra, po. That's what we're going to do, boom, boom. Somebody will go, pa. Ah, my own heavy father will do, 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 do. And the man would just laugh and say, no. That was the first time I knew that mess is where you go to relax. Say, no, that's not what they do inside mess. You go there to relax and then play games. Not where you go and you are just, you understand me? But if you are not if you are not a soldier, you think mess, that's what they go to do, mess. Hallelujah. They now have officers' mess, where officers go to mess themselves up.
No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Aha. Glory to God. So you must write in their word. If I'm writing, even as we are in, as we can be in military, or can write to military people, and I'm not concentrating on, let's say, Air Force Base, for example, that's some words I will use. Now even you that you were born and fathered in a military committee will never know words like Ia Sabi, Mama Sabi. You must have been born somewhere to know Mama Sabi. Abi?
Yeah.
Ah? If not, you will never know Mama Sabi. All you'll be saying is fries. I want to eat fries. What is fries? You don't know what is called pintos. It's a Greek word for pin that has a toe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You don't know what it's into? Eh? I have a Greek Bible, I can give it to you. Check it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means, listen, if I'm to understand those words in those settings, I have to go back to those days. Go back to those locations. Hallelujah. There was a book we read in, a literature we read in our SS3. It was more like a military literature.
I could understand it because I could reason with it. It was just like a But a lot of people didn't found it hard to understand it. Why? Because they were never born in the military community.
Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. So the reason, so to this end, this would now be the reason why they had to explain. Because they were not written to them. Are you following me? They were written to their immediate audience. So the reason why they had to explain is to the end that what the writer said years before will still have the same relevance in their day and time. Because theology will be found and understood in man's activities and man's language. So I'll have to go back to activities and the language of their world.
Try to understand their language. Try to understand what was happening in their world. Try how to read scriptures. Don't just pick your Bible and just say nonsense. I've heard someone say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There's nothing I cannot do. It doesn't matter the kind of target he gives to me. I will meet it.
Ask Pastor Dixon, there's some target he cannot meet. You realize that I can do all things, pray in tongues. Amen. Amen. I wanted to get a job. Some few weeks back, I went for the interview. And man was like, we've heard of you. Because how can you tell me I should submit my CV? How did you get my email address? How did you get my email? How can you tell? Say, no, we've heard of you. Okay, okay, okay. According to the interview, it's from their stupid office. Okay. After I was done talking. After I was done doing, forming all my genge, I was forming, this guy was good. How much do you want to collect? I said 500k. He said, okay, I want to chop money now. And again, I already laid down to me, the target. I said, hold your target, hold your money. I like my life. My life, I need to be saying, how can I be looking for 100 million every month? Am I mad? you guys should hold your money. For how much? Hold your money. I want money, but I don't want useless money. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So,
I can do all things. Through Christ has strengthened me. Go and read what you were talking about.
Hallelujah. The all things there is not everything in the world. If not, the thief too wants to go and steal in the night. He said, God said I can do all things.
Through Christ has strengthened me. Right?
No, the all things is specific things. Hallelujah! They have to go back to their word. How did they use the word all? All is not used for everything with the exception of nothing. No, in most cases, all is used for specifics. Do you understand me? You have to go back to their word. Don't read Bible tenses in your today's language. You will be doing yourself a whole lot of evil. Finally. Because proper Bible interpretation is worship. So when I get to study and I'm properly interpreting the Bible, I'm worshiping. It's worship. Hallelujah. I follow you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So They need to interpret it well so that it will be valid in their world. Because God will use man's activities and man's language. So therefore, in doing this, in understanding how they wrote in their world, I have to take the seat of the first audience then. That is, I have to sit in that chair. Those people who heard Moses, those people who heard Jesus, those people who heard Paul. What? When Moses was writing and talking to them, when they sat down, what were they hearing? I have to take that seat. I have to sit in their seat. In sitting in their seat, that means, listen, I have to take their seat and hear what they heard. Hallelujah. And in sitting in their seat to hear what they heard, I must understand their language. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must understand their language. God's language differs. Bible was not written in English. Bible. Are you hearing me? Bible was not written in English. What you have as King James, NIV. Good news. New creation news. Early news. It is interpretation. Bible was written in different languages. We have the Hebrew text. We have the Greek. We have the Aramaic. We have the Latin. Are you hearing me? The Bible was written in Hebrew majorly and Greek majorly. Hallelujah. Does that sound like your language? Is Hebrew your language? Even the man who speaks Hebrew, like Nehemiah, have to still interpret what Moses was saying because language has evolved even in that Hebrew culture. Are you hearing me? So that means when Moses is speaking, I have to sit. That is why the Bible says it gave the sense to it. That is, I have to sit in their seats. Hear what they heard. Also understand that the Bible was not written in English, in the language that I know. It was written in this language. So therefore, I must know their language. Hallelujah. The language of their words. I must know the language of their words. And the mode of communication in their world. The mode of communication in their world. In knowing the mode of communication in their world, I must know what is their culture. What is their culture? What is the culture of their world? Because the culture of their world is that they were agrarians. They were agrarians. So, you must know the culture of their world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. They are the culture, sorry, and their occupation. So, in occupation, they were agrarians. For example, the mode of communication in the days of Moses, first of all, their culture, they had the near instant culture of the old Babylonian Mesopotamian era. Hallelujah. So they had the near instant culture. Near instant culture. And in the near instant culture of the Babylonian Mesopotamian era, they communicated majorly in figures of speech. In figures of speech. Imagery. Figures of speech. Imagery. Now, this figure of speech and these imageries were used as the base of communication in their days. Base of communication means it was like their vocabulary, like what we call their pidgin. Do you understand me? So I want to talk to you in a manner that you understand. Eh? That you understand me well. Rather than saying the governor of Lagos, the base commander, you understand. Now this guy they talk about. Show you understand me. The GOC. The AOC. Amen. Amen. The AOC. The chief of air staff. Amen. Glory to God. So that was the base of their language. That was their vernacular. Permit me to use the word. That was their skibby. Don't know what the skibby?
Don't know what the skibby? It's a Hebrew word for skibby. That was their skibby. That was their base language.
Just like I told you now, a lady that came to ask me for money and he said, sir, I want to skibby you. Hallelujah. So that was like the base language. Hallelujah. So that means Moses will speak to them in the base language. So they can understand theology. So that they can understand theology.
Theology means God. So they can understand God. So it comes down to their level. Comes down to their level.
Remember,
we said the Old Testament book is called Mysterion, right? Right?
Yes.
Right? So, and because of their unbelief, Moses will now write to them how?
is the base of their language, so that they will come to comprehension of the same thing.
Hallelujah. By occupation, they were agrarians. Reason why Moses, when he writing to them, will write to them using agricultural terms like seed. You find the word seed, they were agrarians. So if he wanted us to write to us in our day-to-day example, he will not be using seed. He will be using things like data. I hope you know. Data, airtime, gigabytes. Because we are in the computer age. Are you following me? So based on their age, they were agrarians. By occupation. So we use things like land, seed. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Amen. So when he says, I will multiply your seed like the sand in the seashore. You know, today, if I tell you, I will multiply your data. I will multiply your data like old four. You understand it, right? It's the same thing. Hallelujah. It's the same thing. It's just, what is the difference? Time. Then it was seed, time is data. You're quiet. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And your data will fill your phone. Will fill your modem.
Yeah. That is the land. That is it. You are there.
Are you seeing that? You are coming close. That's just it. But you know what? Times have changed. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So, you were like seed and those things. Land. Now, look at something.
In our world today, you are here seed. But you are the word seed in our world today.
Hey, many will read seed as crop. Read that, as crop. Some other people, some charismatic Pentecostal people, like Sister Adebola Adebayo, they will read seed. When they hear seed, when they read that, when they see seed, what comes to mind is money. Yes, now, where is your seed? Damn, where your pastor? I think, where is your seed?
It's money.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Money. That's what comes to some people's mind. But you know what? When Moses wrote and used the word seed, he wasn't using it for money. At some point, he used seed also for crops. Yes. But majorly, in his communication, he didn't use seed for money. If I never used it for money. The word seed is the word in the Hebrew zera.
Zera.
Let's see how we use seed. First time you find the word seed is in Genesis 1:11. Genesis 1:11. It said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That when he says this word, he used seed here for a life bearer, a life carrier. Is that? Hallelujah. Now, that is in Genesis 1:11 is the law in Genesis. Hallelujah. The health will bring forth seed according to its kind. Hallelujah. But that's not what we're looking at. Look at Genesis 3:15 quickly. We're just running through this. Genesis 3:15. When Adam and Eve sinned, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise his head, and that shall bruise his heel. He's talking about persons, offspring. You see, that's offspring, life carrier. He said, I will put enmity between thee and thy seed. Remember, we just get our teaching on the revelation of God. We said it's not God that puts enmity, right? Hallelujah. But that's what sin does. But there will be enmity between seed. So the seed is referring to who? Descendant of spring, right? Right? Look at chapter 4, verse 25. Let's see Eve. Eve was thinking, when Eve gave birth to Seth in verse 25, he said, and Adam knew his wife again, and they bore his son, and called his name Seth, after Cain had killed Abel. Seth, for God
She said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. Did you see that? So he referred to Seth as seed. But that was not the seed. Are you following me? Are you following me? That was not the seed. Let's see if I have a note or something else. Okay. Don't worry. Amen. Is this implied that she knew when he said he called Seth seed, she knew that the seed was not a crop, but a person. Did you see that?
She knew.
Eve no say no be crop, not person. Hallelujah, but not even money. In Genesis 7 verse 3, it's used for offspring during the flood, it's used for offspring of animals. Offspring of animals, offspring. Chapter 9 verse 9. Concerning Noah, he says, and I, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. This is that referring to person. Chapter 12 verse 7, now to Abraham. What God says to Abraham, verse 7. He said, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded him an altar to the Lord who appeared to him, to thy seed. Did you see that? To thy seed, referring to people. We also find it in Genesis 13, 15 and Genesis 13, 16. Let me quickly show us Genesis 15, verse 31. Genesis 15, where I'm coming. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and exceeding reward. How did I pull this? I'm coming. Okay, verses 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. You see how you see there? Abraham, oh, this is not, Abraham used seed for a child. You see that? You see that? Amen. Used seed for a child, for a son. In verses 5, God responds to him to show him that seed too is not money but a child. Look at verse 13. He said, and he knew, and he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This is talking about Israel. Did you see that? Israel as a nation. So seed is used for a whole nation. Did you see that? Not money, oh, for a whole nation. The nation of Israel. Israel. In verse 15 too, is used for Israel. And I shall go, and thou shalt go to thy father in peace. And thou shalt, let's say 15 now. Sorry. Chapter 38 verse 8. Skip that. 38 verse 8. This is Judah to his son's wife, Tamar. Verse 8. And Judah said unto Onan, go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. Did you see that seed, which is a child? In Exodus 28:43. Exodus 28:43. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and when they come near to the altar to minister to the holy place, that they bear not the iniquity and die, it shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him, used for his descendants. So when you read seed in their day, don't read it as money or as crop. No, read it as an offspring. Hallelujah. As an offspring, descendant. Are you following me? Amen. Can you see that? So imagine I'm now reading it in my word today. I will miss it all. Right? So I have to go back to their world. Amen. Also, in their world, animals sometimes is used to explain the actions of men. Animals is used to explain the actions of men. Actions of men are explained with animals. Like in Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:22. Hope you are following me. This is not a time to sleep. This is a time to catch everything in the foundation.
I'm going to lay in foundation. We'll know what's happening over there. Hallelujah.
Amen. Genesis 1:26. Are you there? Okay. Are you verse 26? And the Lord said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You see that? Hallelujah. 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the surface of the earth. What do you think he's talking about when he says the animal, the fowl, the bird?
You think he's talking about you should kill, once you are walking and you see
chicken,
kill the chicken and eat. You have had, is that the dominion? You are not alright.
Yeah, he followed me. Somebody was thinking that was dominion, so he went to zoo, Ibadan zoo, and he was zooed.
Hallelujah. Wanted to go and have dominion over hungry lions. No Nigerians. Your lions, if they see you, they see you are seeing lion. They are seeing Daniel's den or lion's den. The lions are seeing fresh food.
Hallelujah. And he was devoured. Hallelujah.
Oh, you think dominion is you are walking. You see someone's goat, you kill it. They are. What have you done? I've taken dominion. Look at your life.
That word dominion. Listen. That word dominion is the same word you find Jesus used when he said all authority. That's the word used for authority. When Jesus said in Matthew, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That word authority is the word dominion. Do you understand it?
Amen.
So when Jesus reads all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So all the nations will be the animals, the birds of the air, everything together that Moses is talking about. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that shortly. Let's see this. So the animals were images of man's action. So what Moses is saying is that in God's image,
that is in the new creation, we will have dominion, authority over different kinds of actions of men. Over different actions of men.
Hallelujah.
That will be in the nations. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, Moses will now rewrite this thing again in Numbers 14 where we read. He said, the whole earth will be full of his glory. Did you see that? Will be full of his glory, full of his knowledge.
That the full of his glory will be subdued.
We're going to see something shortly. Amen. Amen. So in preaching the gospel, when a man believes he is saved, you have taken dominion. That's how you take dominion. When you preach the gospel, a man gets saved. Eh? You have gotten dominion. You've taken dominion. Amen. Are you following that? Look at how animals were used by Moses. Look at Genesis 49. I've been saying this for some few weeks, so just bringing it up all up here again. Genesis 49. Verse 9. It says, Judah is a lion's whelp. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, that had gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. As an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Did you see that? He calls Judah a lion. You see that? He calls Judah a lion. Okay. Can you see? In Chelsea, we have lions, right? Come on! Lion signify kingship. Glory to God. So, as I said, we are going for a treble this season. Amen. Amen. Just imagery. Look at verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent. Dan shall be a serpent. Did you see this? He's using animals to explain man's action. How does now explain Dan? Said that a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, he bited the horse heel so that the rider falls backward. Did you see that? So, animals are used to explain man's action. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Let's move further. Look at verses 21. Nestali. 21. It says, Nestali is a hind let loose. He giveth godly words. Now, so why is it called a hind let loose? Because he giveth what? Godly words. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. Okay, one more. 27. We see Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoils. Did you see that? He uses animals to explain man's actions. So the serpents, when you read serpents, don't be looking at snake alone. No, it's actually reading man's actions. So when I get to Genesis 3, and I read serpents in Genesis 3:1, look at Genesis 3:1. Then now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which God has made, and said unto the woman, yea, had God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. You know what comes to our mind, I've always said it, and I'm still saying it, and we'll continue and keep saying it, is that when some of us get to Genesis 3:1, you just feel, look at that tree. Now look at that tree. Everyone just look at this. Look at that tree. Let me do an illustration. You cannot see the tree. Look at the tree in your spirit. Amen. Look at that tree. Or just okay, this one, everybody has seen. Look at this tree. For any 3 years. Now imagine,
you know what comes to people's mind? Genesis 3, there was a garden. So there's trees everywhere. Yeah, how do you know that there are trees everywhere? I don't know. But scripture only shows us that these images of two trees, but people just have to say that trees everywhere, trees. So Eve now got to one. Serpent, snake now came down.
Eve, she gonna not chop any fruit. Yes, customer will not chop that apple. How you know it's apple? I don't know. Say that apple. God no save you, chopper, your eye go open. Did you see? So what comes to your mind is that there was one snake that is talking to Eve. But you know,
see, whoever that did this thing to us, whoever that did this thing to us through television, no go better for us.
Even me, sometimes when I get a read there, I'll just imagine. It has so worked on our psychology. It has so entered us. How many of you still imagine one snake just as in it has so entered us that we just think it's snake? Can you now see? You are doing some funny things in front of children that they don't know anything. This snake you knew it when you were a child. And you have grown with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's not it's just so funny. That the snake was now talking. In history, it has never been
in history that a serpent or a snake ever spoke. Never. Amen. My uncle find the story that this is why it was because of when God now cursed the serpent. Serpent stopped talking. That's why we hear this serpent. The thing serpent do is just be kissing up and down.
Hallelujah, no. Glory to God. Amen.
For those of you who are fighting with sleep, I warn you.
Amen. No. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the serpent was used as an imagery. Don't see the serpent literally. No. See it as an imagery. An imagery for deceit. Do you understand me? An image for this. So in Genesis 49, we read about Dan, who is a serpent, and he that bited the rider. Now, it makes you see that a serpent is one which make others to fall. You see that? A serpent is used as an image to show that which make people fall. In fact, when he uses the word subtlety, in Genesis 3:1, that is his first action, and that action is an action that brings unbelief towards God's word. Subtlety. Look at verse 13, if I'm not mistaken, 13. It says, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And she said, the serpent beguiled me. Has what to deceive, to lure. And I did eat. Did you see that? The serpent lured me. Amen. Amen. So, serpent in Genesis 3 is used to portray Satan's act in unbelief, found in man's action.
In fact, if Satan's act of unbelief found in man's action, so that means I want to say something here, and I will pick it up in the course of the year. Now, in the garden, Eve was not with anybody. There was no serpent, nothing.
Amen.
There was nothing. We just read that animals are used to talk about actions, right? So that serpent used there was to talk about his action of unbelief. And why Moses now put a serpent there is for you to see if Satan's action working through man. So but what happened to Eve was unbelief.
Are you following this? Nothing there, there was no serpent. It was just imagery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus, which we say we'll be reading from Moses, we will now get to Luke 10:19 and say, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions.
How many of you have gone for evangelism if you saw serpents and imagined?
No.
When they step upon serpent and say, it's the same thing that Moses has said to Eve. Concerning Eve. Satan's action through men, causing unbelief. He says, you will deal with unbelief with the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So when he says you tread upon snakes and scorpions, we're talking about Satan's actions through men.
Glory to God. Will be found in what? Man's action. Hallelujah. Or put it this way, will be the work of Satan through man's actions. Sorry. I put it the other way. So the serpents will be the work of Satan through man's action.
Hallelujah. So he says you will tread upon it.
Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Glory to God.
When you go to preach the gospel, someone pours you water. Pours you beans water. Insults you. Stone you. That is the serpent.
Man's action. Beguiled by Satan's work. That is Satan's work through man's action.
Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God.
You'll find it there.
Man's unbelief, and you come and you teach the gospel and the person gets saved.
You trample upon snakes and scorpions.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So snake, serpent is never used for anything good. And I say this to say that there are some people who go to read John 3.
No, my number, I want to say it. People go to read John 3 and say, Jesus said he will be like the serpent. Jesus never said he's like the serpent. No. He says, as the serpent is lifted up, quoting Numbers 21, says, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Why did Moses raise the serpent in Numbers 21? Moses took the serpent. Now, they had an epidemic in Israel, and they were suffering from poisonous bites and things like that. So, now, what Moses did, they cried to Moses, hallelujah, Numbers 21.
Like, you don't stop listening to stories and read your Bible. Amen. Verse 6. And the Lord sent a fiery serpent among the people. Now, that was the Lord sent. It was not the Lord that did. And they beat the people much, and the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that will make the serpent, take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and put upon the pole, and it shall come to pass, everyone that is bitten, when he looked on it, shall live.
Hallelujah. He's not saying that when you look at the serpent, what are you looking at it to see? He's not saying that the healing will come from the serpent. No.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Moses passed across a message to them, which will be read in two ways. First of all, he said, make the serpent.
Now, when he put it on a... To hang the serpent, to hang means that word, put it on a pole. Pole is used for how you pass
judgment. Hallelujah. In their day and their world. So remember I said you have to go back to their day. Go back to their world. Right? In their world, when you put it on the pole, it means judgment is going to be passed. So Moses is saying, look at the serpent. Judgment will be passed on the serpent. Hallelujah. So as many as look and see that judgment has been passed on the serpent and the serpent will be destroyed. He said they got their healing. So what are you looking at? They're not looking at the serpent for healing. No, they are seeing what is happening to the serpent. And the serpent will be destroyed. Are you following me? Hallelujah. The healing is not coming from the serpent. No, you are seeing what will happen to the serpent. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So Jesus now picks it up. He now says, as the serpent is lifted up, so say, so also. Now that there is a construction issue with that tense, with the translation that you have in English. Hallelujah. What Jesus is saying is, as the Son of Man is lifted up, the same way you see Moses place the pole, place the fiery serpent on the pole. So the same way you would see in the death of the Son of Man that the serpent that causes unbelief will be destroyed. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying he's going to be the serpent. Serpent was never used by Moses for anything good. So Jesus wouldn't take that position. Are you hearing me? Take that position. So the healing is not coming from the serpent. The healing is coming from God. But you are seeing that the Lord, this is what God will do to the serpent. This is what God will do to unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen. To the works of the devil through men. Amen. Amen. So what Moses is telling them is that your problem is not the epidemic. Your problem is see what God will do in salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will come back from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Just very simple. But you have to go back to their world to read it in their day. Amen. You are seeing the way we are reading it, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another thing that people have issues with is the use of the word roaring lion. Roaring lion. I will not forget an encounter I had with a man whose wife had gone bonkers, as in had mental issues. I went to pray. And the man's unbelief, the man was full of great unbelief. I've not seen that kind of unbelief in my life. Even when I was sitting there and the man was talking, even Jesus on the throne would say, Oga. What was that word? Oga de. So the guy says, he said, why can God be this callous? Say God knows that we are his children and God how can I put my child inside the room and now put lion inside? I say, who is lion? Say Satan is lion. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, Satan is no lion. Never was Satan called lion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rather, a description for Satan is like a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It's called a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He didn't call the devil a lion. He said the emphasis is on the word roaring. Hallelujah. And that word roaring lion is a phrase you find in the Old Testament used for evil and adversary. Are you seeing that? It's used for evil and for the adversary. I will just run through it. Run through the text, sister. You can read it yourself. You have it in Job 4, verse 9 to 10. I don't know why I put John here. Job 4, 9 to 10. Psalms 22, verse 13. Proverbs 19, 2. Job 4, 9 to 10. Psalms 22, verse 13. Proverbs 19, 12. Proverbs 28, 15. It's used for rot there. In Isaiah 5, 29 and 30. Ezekiel 22, 5. Zephaniah 3, 3. Zechariah 11, verse 3. Is used to show rot, what is not good. I'll take it that again. Job 4, 9 to 10, Psalms 22, 13, Proverbs 19, 12, Psalms 28, 15, used for rot, Isaiah 5, 29, Isaiah 5, 30, Ezekiel 22, 5, Zephaniah 3, 3, Zechariah 11, 3. It's used for, the emphasis is on roaring. Right? It's on roaring. And it is used to show rot and what is not good. Hallelujah. So it implies that Moses is using the language of men to communicate God's story. That's what it means. He was using their language.
They have the base of their language to communicate God's story. God's story of multiplication, right? God's story. God's story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing, and this will be more, it looks as if it's going to sound a bit controversial, but it is not.
Let me not call it controversial, it's complex.
In my notes, I put it as KIV, which is keep in view. But I'm going to say that. See, another reason why proper interpretation has to be done to scripture is because it is written in a language, Hebrew, different from the language spoken in Jesus' days, Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. And words, if not properly looked at well, might lose its import if not well explained. I'm going to say that to you because, you know, many a times we say, which is not wrong, we say the New Testament books, Jesus and the epistles, are explanation of the Old Testament books, right? Right? We say the New Testament. It's not wrong. It's right. Right? That is it. They're explanations. But they're explanations in another language. They're not explanations in English, in Greek. Do you see that? Are you following me? So that means, if I'm to read, I have to go back again. Right? If I have to read even the epistles. The epistles will always point me back to Moses. And Moses is in Hebrew. Glory to God. I did something to us while we looked at the word, the teaching on the revelation of God. Take a hold of that. I explained this a bit in using the word redemption, Gal. Right? This word Gal, Lutrosis, Apolutrosis. So get to listen to that message. It actually will help in this fact. Glory to God. As I can see, I have my time is fast spent and we still have a bunch. We've not gotten halfway. We have a lot to look at. Okay, so a few points to note. Theology is the major reason why they wrote, right? Hallelujah. Theology is the major reason why they wrote. And in writing theology, we write it in man's language, man's activity. Hallelujah. Another thing you must note again is the fact that Moses' audience in Genesis will be the children of Israel in their Exodus. Hallelujah. Moses' audience in the Genesis will be the children of Israel in their Exodus. Now, who are his audience? The children of Israel. Who are the children of Israel? Who are his audience in Genesis? The children of Israel, right? This is the Leviticus Numbers, the children of Israel, right? So, very important. So, we want to look at why did Moses write the Genesis? Why did he write these books? Right? In Exodus 3 verse 12. Exodus 3 12. Amen. Amen. Lord of creation. Exodus 3 12. He said, is it 12? Yeah. And he said, certainly I'll be with you. I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token I have sent thee. Thou shalt, when thou hast brought the children of, brought forth the people of out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. So Moses is going forth to bring God's children out of where? Egypt, right? Right? Okay. Look at chapter 6. So sorry, verses 13 of chapter 3. I didn't write it together. Verses 13 of chapter 3 say, and Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what shall I say to them? The God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So Moses is going there to teach them. I've told you, when you hear, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart was hardened does not mean that he was stubborn. Pharaoh's heart being hardened is that Pharaoh rejected the gospel of the gospel of God's redemption in Christ Jesus, spoken by who? Moses. Amen. Up of Jesus. If you've not listened to that message.
Amen. Do you remember? I said it last year, right? Right?
Yeah, right?
So don't listen to the message. I just want to bring your mind back to it. So just step in. So Moses will go to preach to them, and he will tell them the God of their fathers, right? And what is his name? I am that I am. Chapter 6 from verse 1. I want you to see this. And so it, and the Lord said to Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to them, I appeared to Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, who gave them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, said the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you for me a people, and I'll be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, where I give you for an inheritance, says the Lord.
Hallelujah, I am the Lord. Hallelujah.
So Moses is going there to teach them about the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, and his redemption work, right? That's what Moses is going to Egypt to teach them.
Amen. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me.
If you are not following me, you shall keep drawing what you are drawing. Hallelujah. And how will he explain to them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's going to explain the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to them in the activities of men. And he was in the activities of men. And in writing about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, listen.
Now he wants to write about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What does he do? He goes back and starts teaching them from where? Adam. Why would you go to Adam? You have to trace the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back to Adam. And he will teach about Yahweh in his redemption work from there.
That's just like what we are doing today. We're talking about patriarchy and feminism. Look at where you're starting off from. Because this will be a foundation. Right? Right? You also have it too in the writings of Luke.
Luke's writing is writing in defense of Paul.
We write the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Majorly the book of Acts is in defense of Paul. It's like his Paul's defense. Hallelujah. Pastor Shegu will call it a lawyer's brief. Writing in defense of Paul. But writing about Paul, the reason for the book of Luke is because of Acts. So he's writing about Paul in defense of Paul. He goes back to write about Luke. Starts writing from Luke 1. Why writing from Luke 1? Now you will see where is Paul.
How do we get to Paul? There was a Jesus.
Are you following me?
There was Jesus. So he writes down to the crucifixion of Jesus. If you watch similarities between the book of Luke, you'll find a lot of similarities with Luke and with Acts. How?
You find the fact that in Luke, Jesus was persecuted. You find that persecution amongst the 12 disciples. You find that persecution also in Paul. It's just a defense. Hallelujah. So he goes back to write. Writes about Jesus. You find some of those things in Jesus. I mean, what he's writing in defense of Paul, for you find it in Jesus. Then he begins to act. He didn't just get to act and now write, and Luke and Paul. No. You get that? He didn't just say, and Paul. No. He starts writing from that ascension. Right? What now happens? Now, if you watch, he was not particular about Paul consenting to the death, even when to the death of Stephen. So it made you see that Paul was there. You see that? It made you see that Paul was there while Stephen was killed. It made you see that Paul listened to the message. Hallelujah. He shows you Paul's encounter. Hallelujah. And he equates that encounter of Paul with that of the apostles in Luke. Hope you are following that. It's just a lawyer's brief. It's just a defense.
And because he wants to write up about Paul, he went back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Went back to the virgin birth. How Jesus was born.
Glory to God. glory to God. That's just, you know, that is how
you find writing in their day. And that is how we are taught also to explain scriptures.
You have to go through a lot of foundations. Let people see where you are going to. Hallelujah. You know, they just come and say, patriarchal system, feminism, this is where God stands is, and let's close service, right? Like some people say, emoji, get to the main point, get to the main point, get to the main point. Don't worry, we'll get there. If I just get to the main point, you only have gaps. You will not be able to explain. Because my pastor said, for when you are done with this, you can explain it to anybody. Hallelujah. Go to God. So, we're going to explain about God. He will now, we'll explain about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will now trace it to their genealogy, where you find Adam. And in Adam, you will begin to teach about Yahweh and his redemptive work. So Genesis 1:1 is not creation story. It's not matter story. It's not no, Genesis 1:1 is redemption story. It's writing about God's redemption. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:1 is not a science book. It's not science fiction. No! It's the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're following me.
I need a paper. Okay. Let's continue. Don't worry.
So, therefore, theology is explained in the activities of men. Why he wrote it for his audience to know whom God is. You see that whom God is. And this is also important because they have stayed too long in a place where they have seen other gods, Egypt. They stayed too much in Egypt. They've seen other gods. Egypt had hundreds of gods. Hundreds and thousands of gods. They have gods. They have God for this, God for that, God for that. They have God for everything. Hallelujah. So they've seen several gods. And yet, Moses is going to talk to them about Yahweh, the God of their fathers. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So let's see how he begins to talk to them. He takes them to Genesis 1. We're back to Genesis 1 again. Amen. Amen. I should hit the nail on the head, right? We are going back again. Amen. Genesis 1. I guess we are getting into our main teaching little by little. Let me take us another few minutes to get in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Beginning. That is a word. Beginning.
You know, we look at the word beginning in John, right? I'll say the word arche, right? Now, beginning. That word beginning is the word in the Hebrew, reshit. Reshit. R-E-S-I-T. Reshit. And what you find in John, in Genesis 10:10, I say John, Genesis 10, verse 10.
It gives us the kingdom of Nimrod. He said, and beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Canaan in the land of Shinar. Hallelujah. When you think it's beginning of his kingdom, you think it's the start of his kingdom. No, it's not actually a start of his kingdom. He's talking about the restart of his kingdom. When you read from verses 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, this is a restart. In chapter 49, verses 3, he's talking about, he spoke about Reuben. And he calls Reuben the son of Jacob. Jacob calls Reuben the beginning of his strength. He said, thou art my firstborn, my the beginning of my strength. So,
Reshit is used for a firstborn. It's used for a firstborn, like a firstfruit. Hallelujah.
It's not the beginning, it's not a new beginning from nothing. No. Are you hearing me? It's just when you restart. When you call your firstborn the beginning of my strength, it doesn't mean that is the new of your strength. No, it's the renewing of your strength. Your strength is renewed in your first son. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's used for a restart of his strength. A restart. In Exodus 33:19, that word reshit, 33 verse 19. Hope you're following me. The word reshit. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim. Sorry, there's a mistake here. Okay, you know what we'll do? Skip that for now. I'll get that over to you shortly. Let's go on down to Leviticus 2 verse 12. What was the name? Leviticus 2 verse 12. While you're eating there, let me quickly check something. Otherwise, I skip that. Sorry. Okay. Leviticus. Let me rush to this first. Okay, 2 verse 12, it says, as for the obligation of the first fruit, ye shall offer them unto the Lord. They shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet scent. So it's the word first fruit. Are you hearing me? It's the word first fruit. So it is used for a first fruit. Are you hearing me? Used for a first fruit. So it is from the word rosh. That word rashid from the word rosh. R-O-S-H. A word used for a chief, a model. Used for a restart.
Let's put it like this. It's used for a new beginning.
The word rashid
used for a new beginning. So when Moses is saying in Genesis 1, why not say in the beginning? What is the beginning? The beginning is the beginning before the beginning began. No.
When you use the word beginning there, it means we can read that in the new beginning, right? Hallelujah. Can we put it like that? In the new beginning. Right? Can we put it like this? So in the new creation. Come on. Right? Can we put it like this? In the new birth. Come on. Come on. What will you find in the new birth? A heaven. God created the heavens in the earth. Do you see that? So in the new beginning, in the new birth, what you find is God in man, the heavens in the earth. The way you use the word heavens, I've shown you is the word, you get that message. Listen to that message. I'm taking you back to that message. When you use the word heaven, get the message of understanding believers' authorities, God's heaven and earth. I explained that there extensively. Hallelujah. Extensively. So heaven is used for God's place amongst men. Heaven has to deal with God. Just to make it short. Hallelujah. So when I say earth is used for man. So you say in the beginning God created heavens in the earth, that is God in man. That's what God does in the beginning. Hallelujah.
In the beginning, so in the new birth, what you have is God in man. How? Jesus will not pick that in John chapter 14. He now says in that day, I'll pray the Father and give another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees none that doesn't know you, for you know him, for he shall dwell with you and live in you. He says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In verse 20, he says, in that day you will know I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's talking about the same thing. The heavens in the earth. God in man. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that.
Yes,
God in man. Now look at that Genesis 1:2. You know, say, remember in Genesis 1:1, what did God make? Heaven and earth, right? God in man. You know, says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the waters. Now when it says the earth was without form and void, Moses is showing you the earth. Remember in verse 1, it says heaven and earth, the heavens and the earth, God and man. Did you see that? Now in verse 2, it's now showing you only the earth. Earth is used for man. It's the word eret, used for man. Are you hearing me? Used for man. Used for dust, eret. Then it says, and the earth was without form and void. That is, man without God. In Genesis 1:1, you have God and man. Verses 2, you have man without God. Hope you're following me. Amen. So you have man without God. And it says man without God is empty and void. He calls it without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Empty and void. Darkness. That's the word for chaos. Chaos. Hallelujah. Was upon the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. And remember, I've always shown you that Genesis 1:2-3 is talking about the heart of man. So when Paul was to pick that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, come on, run with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul is picking that up in verse 6. Look at what it says. He said, for God, okay, I'll start from verse
4. He says, okay, verse 3. For if our gospel be he, he says, it is he to them who are lost. If our gospel be he, it is he to them who are lost. So who are lost? Come on. He says, verse 4.
I want you to be there. Open there.
I want to see our expressions. We need to look at this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody.
See, when you get to the point, you don't know what to write. Just give faith. Continue with that.
Amen. Amen. It has happened to me before.
Just give faith.
I've never drawn this amount, so don't worry.
Maybe at some point your writing will not be going up. It's going to the heavens.
And then start coming back to the earth. No. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's continue. Are you there? Okay, verses 4. It says, whom the God of this world, if our gospel be he, he is to them who are lost, say, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not. Say, lift the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves the servant for Christ's sake. Say, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, and shine in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, look at what Paul is saying.
Paul is saying, he says, if I come to be he to them who are lost.
That is, whom the God of this world has blinded. When you see that word blinded, is the same root word where you have the word darkness. Did you see that? Darkness. So that means Paul is taking you back to Genesis. He's then telling you the empty and void and darkness upon the surface of the deep will be found in the preaching of the gospel, in the rejection of the gospel. But when a man believes the gospel, it is not heaven and earth, God and man united. Not man united, but God united with man.
Hallelujah. Man united is gazing, is homosexuality.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know? Hallelujah. There was a joke like that that said, when a man and a wife get married, they say, I proclaim you husband and wife.
But when a man is getting married to a man, craziness, stupidity, nonsense, useless, stupid, nonsense, in fact, disgusting. A man gets married to a man at the court, when the judge is done, proclaim them married, and say, I declare you man united. Amen. That's why he's demonic, devilish, to be a red devil. Nothing good comes out of that.
Hallelujah. Let's continue. I'm coming after your soul, especially those from Asna.
Amen. I'm vexing my own anger on Asna.
Amen. Glory to God. That is your soul. The pastor is talking, they are talking. That is what happens to the world system. World system. Body. Okay, let's continue. So,
when a man gets born again, it is God united with man, right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Just like the way you see the lion in the Chelsea logo crested into Chelsea.
Just when you have that, look at it from that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, man was formed before Chelsea. Let me give you history. Now, the reason for Chelsea is because Chelsea is a counter-narrative to man. They have a demon carrying, I don't know, they got that pop from hell. Hallelujah. But there was a counter-narrative. No, it's not this, it's Jesus. It's not the devil, it's not Belial, it's Christ. Lion. Amen. The best you can do is just to weep under your pants. Okay, let's continue verses 4. Now, so when a man is not in Christ, right, he is seen as what? Empty and void. Paul will say his heart is blinded. Do you see that? So that means what Moses is writing about in Genesis 1, 2, in verse 3, he now says, and God said, let there be light. The word there is light be, or that is the word hayah. It means, I am light. Paul will now put it this way in verse 6. He said, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Is that Genesis 1, 2, 3?
light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart.
So that means Genesis 1, 2, 3 is focused on the heart of man.
Did you see that? Incredible.
It's just on the heart. So before you begin to look at, Genesis 1, when God just showed up like this, just two, and you say, No, Moses wasn't writing that. Moses was not intending that he used Genesis to read science. No. Hallelujah. Did God create the heavens and the earth? Yes. God created all we see? Yes. But that was not what Moses is writing about. I told you.
The Bible is not a fiction, but it's not a science book. Amen. I hear someone say, in the Bible you find science. In the Bible you find agriculture.
Hey, if you employ Jesus' teaching on agriculture for your agri business, you will heap up loss upon loss. Yes now. Hallelujah. Because Jesus' parables on agriculture has been proven wrong today. Yes now, today.
He said, Jesus said there's a certain kind of soil. When you're talking about those soils, rocky soil, sandy. You know today, there are some soils normally that should not produce. But just a little fertilizer, some things you do to that ground, it begins to produce. Show you know. But Jesus said, the birds will come and pick it.
So Jesus, when you're not reading Jesus' parable, I am now using it to teach a Greek in class. You and your student will have F9 or 2. Because Jesus wasn't teaching a Greek. Jesus was using parables to teach the kingdom of God.
Are you following me? Remember I taught you that when we're looking at parables, parable, that you don't use parables literally. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said, one way you want to prosper your business, give to the church, clap your hands for yourself. Giving to the church is a principle, will give to the furtherance of the gospel. But if you carry your capital and give to the church, you'll be poor. You don't know, you'll be poor. Amen. Up of Jesus. Very simple. Bring your capital. Bring it, your capital. Bring your capital to church. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So now, you have the perfect principle in the scripture. Even you that you are saying you are not employing it. You are not deceiving people to do it. That is nonsense. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me? So Genesis 1, 2, 3 is about the heart. When God said, let there be light. Where is the light going to shine? Out of darkness. And Paul says in the heart. So what Moses was writing about is the heart. The heart of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man's heart. So when now says, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the surface of the deep. Paul shows us too. That will be verse 4. It says that preaching, that Spirit of God moving upon the surface of the deep will be found in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. That will be God in the preaching of the gospel. You find out also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, my speech and my teaching and my preaching was not in the expensive words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is called apodesis. Apodesis. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Spirit. To put forth light on that surface. So when the gospel is preached, it's the work of the Spirit to put on light on that surface. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying, what Moses is saying, is when he said, that was upon the surface of the deep. But what is the work of the Spirit? The Bible says it was woven over the surface of the deep. That is, how was he doing it? In the preaching of the gospel. That when a man gets saved, verse 3 will not happen. And God said, let there be light. Did you see that? Are you following me? So when a man believes, it is, let there be light. Go in the dark. And where will the light shine? In the heart. How are you following that? Go to God. Don't worry. You're going to sleep. Sleep. Let there be light. Amen. So Moses says the earth
was without form and void. He deals with unbelief. Did you see that? He deals with unbelief. Something we're going to see shortly is that he deals with unbelief. Okay. Can I deal with this? He deals with unbelief. Yeah, I'm there. It is with unbelief which goes to the core of their world. In Matthew 19:8, Jesus helps us see that. Look at Matthew 19:8. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 19:8. I'm entering into our topic now. So if you are asleep, sleep no more. But if you can't hold it, sleep on. Matthew 19:8. And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Look at what happened. In verses 4, they came to him. Verse 3, they came to him and said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, have you not read? We who made them at the beginning made them male and female. And we said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Look at how Jesus is answering them all. I'm just taking you back. They came asking Jesus a question in Deuteronomy. Shall a man put away his wife for any cause? And Jesus said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning. So that means they came to Jesus in Deuteronomy. With Deuteronomy, Jesus said, no, before Deuteronomy you have Genesis. Go back to Genesis. Don't jump to chapter 4. Go back to chapter 1. I follow you. He says, in the beginning he made them male and female. That is Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. And I said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Now what is Jesus doing? Jesus is not teaching them. Jesus was not quoting scripture. I've taught you that. Jesus doesn't quote scriptures. Jesus teaches scriptures. Hallelujah. So Jesus is reading from Genesis 1. So, and what you have the writers do here, like I've always told you, is that if they begin to put in everything Jesus was saying, this Bible will be bigger than a Ghana must go. So what they do is that they do what they call summative writings. Hallelujah. So they just pick main points. This is what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus will always teach from Genesis. Jesus started from Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. And then he runs down to Genesis 2. Say, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Did you see that? I showed you something in Matthew 22. They asked Jesus, which is the great commandment of the law? Matthew 22, from verse 36. Matthew recorded it as this. Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the first. But if we run to Mark chapter 12, with the same question was asked to Jesus, Mark is putting it this way. Mark's answer of the same question, when Mark is putting it, Mark will say, Jesus started with, the Yahweh Israel, the Lord your God is one. You see that? So he started from Deuteronomy 32 from verses 6. Why Matthew said he started from verses 8 or thereabout. Can you now see? So that means what they had was summative writings. Because if they were to bring in all Jesus has said in response to that question, it would have been wrong. So they just speak it shorthand. Are you following me? Shorthand. So that's what is happening here in Matthew 19. So Jesus is reading Genesis 1 into Genesis 2 for them. Hallelujah. In verse 6 now say, wherefore there are no more twine, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said, then they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorcement to put her away? They are still quoting again Deuteronomy. And look at what Moses now said. Jesus now said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. For but from the beginning, it was not so. You see that? They came and asked him a question on patriarchal system, and he said from the beginning it was not so. Hallelujah. So I want you to see something. Hallelujah. So he says, Moses will permit you to do this, to put away your wife because of the hardness of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus helps us see what was obtainable in Moses' world. What was obtainable in Moses' world was a hardened heart. Hardened heart. Sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. It's a word that's not just used for Israelites alone. It's also used for Pharaoh. We've seen that before, right? Meaning Jesus is showing us Moses' audience. Who Moses' audience were? They were hardened people, right?
hardened hearts. They were unbelieving. But Jesus wasn't just talking about Moses' disciples, I mean Moses' people alone. Jesus went further. Not just Moses' audience, but by extension to Moses' world. Moses' world was a world with a hardened heart. It was a hardened world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Moses will call that same world. Remember, it's hardened. Unbelief, darkness, right? Hardness, clerocardia, unbelief, darkness, right? The writer of Hebrew will use that word, clerio, in Hebrew chapter 3. And the writer of, the psalmist will use the same word, hardened, in Psalm 92. Hallelujah. They harden not your heart as in a day of provocation. So it's used for unbelief. It's used for darkness. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means Moses' statement in Genesis 1-2 goes beyond Moses' audience. When the Daniel was upon the summit of the deep, he goes beyond Moses' audience. It goes down to their world. Hallelujah. It goes beyond his audience into their world. And we've seen this too in our revelation of God, the teaching of revelation of God. So what it implies is that Moses goes into the core of the practice of his world. And it's addressing the issue of his world. Hallelujah. So when he said, darkness of the fallen servants of the deep, he was addressing the issue of his world. Hallelujah. 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 Remember, we said it deals with the acceptance of the gospel, which is Genesis 1-2. Hallelujah. Go to God. So what Moses is saying, I want to quickly rush through this. Let's go for a 10-minute break and take the other half. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to God.
So what Moses is saying is that the answer to the issue of their world,
the answer to the issue of their world is the gospel. The answer to the issue of the world is the gospel. The answer to the problem of the world is gospel. What we would see shortly is that they would see, what we would see shortly is that we would see that the divider isn't in their world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The divider isn't in their world.
Or what I put it, the divider we would see in their world,
let me take that again. What we would see shortly is that what we will see, is that they will see the divider in their world will be accepting the gospel in the light, and being the light, or reject it and being darkness. That will be the divider. The divider wouldn't be what was happening in the system of the world, whether strong or weak, whether
male or female. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that would not be the divider. The divider would be in their world, preaching of the gospel, accept it or reject it. Someone will not ask, but in their world,
it was only Israel that had the gospel. Your people can say that. Only Israel. The gospel was not known anywhere. It was only Israel. It's not true. That would be an assertion that is not true.
Because Abraham himself is not, Abraham himself is not a Jew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham wasn't a Jew. Israel is a Jew. Abraham wasn't. Amen. Isaac wasn't. Adam wasn't. Noah wasn't. So that becomes the divider. Hallelujah. In fact, in the days of Abraham, we had, in Genesis 14, we have Melchizedek. Is a king. The Bible calls him the king of Salem. Salem is a nation. Hallelujah. Not even in Israel, because there was not even Israel then. But let's say Israel was still in Abraham. or where Abraham was. Though it wasn't. But let's just put it like that. Even if where Abraham was, we'll call it Israel. There was a Melchizedek. Hallelujah. And he was a king. A king who is a priest in Salem. We will now have Jerusalem later on. Hallelujah. And was it in Israel? Are you following me? We also have, in the days of Moses, we have his in-law, Jethro. Jethro was called, he's a priest of the Midianites.
Word of God, he's Moses' in-law. Hallelujah. And he is also a minister of the Lord. He is a prophet. This shows that we had several indications that the gospel of God was known and ministered in other places apart from Israel.
So that means the gospel is not an Israel gospel. Some people are there, Israel religion. No, it's not an Israel gospel. Hallelujah. Was known and preached in other nations of the world aside Israel.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Shah, I'll close this section with a quote of Pastor Shego. He will say, the reason for idol worship, anywhere you see idol worship, the reason for idol worship is the rejection of the gospel. Where you find idol worship is because the gospel has been known there. Anywhere you find idol worship. Someone said, it was until they brought Oyibo religion. They call it Oyibo religion to Nigeria. That is when evil started. I looked at the person recently and I said it's not true. The reason why we have idol worship in Nigeria is because the gospel was known in Nigeria and Africa. You're like, how do you mean? I told him, do you remember the Ethiopian Enoch? He said, yes, Ethiopian Enoch came from Africa. In fact, you remember the Queen of Sheba? Yes, the Queen of Sheba is actually a queen, was actually the queen in Africa. And when he came to meet Solomon, he came and what she took back home to her hometown, which is called the Cushites, was the gospel. So you can't come and tell me the gospel was never came to Africa until the white men brought it. No, the white men didn't bring it. No, what the white men did was to, it was like more or less like a remembrance. Something I myself would even have called, they came with slave trade. And in giving you slave trade, they gave you the gospel also. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I hope I have not caused a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Amen. But we have the gospel before it ever came here. Or where do you think the word Chineke came from? For the Igbos. Where do you think it came from? Think it was referring to Amadioha? No! The reason for the Amadioha is because men rebelled against the gospel. Are you hearing me? So the reason why you have Baal worship was because the gospel was known. Was preached, was known. And the rejection of it is what idol worship.
Hope you are hearing me. I hope you are hearing me.
So idol worship. So when people, when you get to hear people saying idol worship, foreign religion, just don't listen to them. They don't know what they are saying. Hallelujah. The rejection of the gospel is idol worship. We'll see in another